Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Hey, what's up, friends? You have found the GC Podcast, and you're hanging out with your boys, Anthony and Joe. If you don't know, we are both pastors in GCI. It's kind of hard to believe somebody gave us these jobs, but we're glad they did. And we are both fans of the podcast format. And Joe, this might be helpful for our listening audience. How and when do you go about utilizing podcasts in your busy schedule? What's that look like?
Yeah, it can be really tough with all the different things that I have going on, being a family man and also with my pastoral responsibilities. Usually, I usually try to do it when I go on a walk in the morning times. I like to take a walk in the morning times, just get into nature. We're trying to engage our community more here, so it puts me out in the community. And so while I'm walking, I'm praying, but I'm also listening to sermon prep stuff, that week's RCL. I also listen to leadership development and then also listen to devotionals and spiritual development. It plays a big part in my life.
Yeah, that time to walk and pray and listen, that's good time. And I do often, it looks like that as well. Sometimes when I'm getting ready in the morning, when I'm driving in the car, just wherever you can find some downtime to listen to good information that is helpful. And in this month's episode, we're going to be interviewing Michelle Fleming. And we zero in on being intentional. There's that word again, Joe. We keep saying it. Intention and purpose. In planning the Sunday worship celebration, or what we in GCI call the Hope Avenue. From your perspective, as a lead pastor, how important is the Hope Avenue and why?
Well, the Hope Avenue is one piece of a bigger puzzle. You know, we talk about the Hope, Faith, Love avenues. And the way I like to look at it, Anthony, is kind of a three-legged stool for somebody to sit on as like a discipleship. And you need all those different legs to be able to really disciple well. And the Hope Avenue is one of those legs. And so it's really vital to have a Hope Avenue. And like you said, to be intentional on it and it have a purpose in it. It's a space for people to experience the hope of Jesus in a very real and tangible way. But also, it creates that space for people as members to practice their faith in serving others to share that hope in Jesus that we have.
Yeah, what I hear you saying, Joe, is it matters what we do on Sunday mornings. We want people to have an encounter with the risen Lord. And so we don't want to be haphazard with that. So as we talk about intentionality and crafting in the Hope Avenue, what's one best practice you can share with our listening audience?
This is such that's a really great question. You know, like what we talked about, we want people to experience the hope we have in Jesus. And so the question that I love to ask our team is, how are we communicating that hope to people that visit? Whether it's a longtime GCI member, or maybe it's someone who is in GCI, but they're new to the area, they're new to the church, to that particular church, but also, what about someone that doesn't know GCI, or even more so, brother, someone that is hurting and doesn't even know who Jesus is, or even like what the church is? So the best piece of advice that I can give is to have eyes of someone brand new. And is there anything that we're doing that could hinder somebody from experiencing that hope of Jesus?
Yeah, it's in a coming episode. I know that's going to be a topic that we discuss. Is what is it like to be on the other side of our church, showing up for the first time? What are they seeing and hearing and feeling as they walk through the door? And we want to be purposeful about planning for that. That's really good, Joe. So let's pause here. Thank you for your sharp insights. And now let's listen to my interview with Michelle Fleming. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I have the joy of interviewing my friend and colleague, Michelle Fleming. Michelle is the GCI Media Director, and along with her team, she's responsible for such content that you love, like Speaking of Life videos,
GCI Update and Equipper, the monthly GCI Prayer Guide, the GCI website, Church Hacks, and you guessed it, GC Podcast. So that makes her my supervisor. So Super, thanks for being with us. How are you? And what is praiseworthy in your life today?
I don't know if I could take on that role of supervising you, Anthony. But yeah, what's praiseworthy in my life? You know, we're in a season in media where we are getting ready to plan for next year's content. We are always ahead. We filmed Christmas Speaking of Life this week in August. And so we're planning ahead for 2020. And that's just a life-giving time for the team, for us to come up with ideas and have more intentional time together to kind of see where is the Spirit leading us and what are we going to focus on for the next year. So that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been fun watching you and your team collaborate, and I know you love doing that and the creative ideas flow. So let's let those creative ideas flow here on the podcast this morning. And so, Michelle, you know, today we're going to focus our energies on crafting the Sunday worship celebration. And of course, by using the word crafting, which I've come to love, we're implying something specific. What does it mean to craft a worship celebration? And why is it important?
I think we use the word craft because it goes to our whole team-based pastor-led model. The worship celebration is the hope avenue in that model. And throughout all of team-based pastor-led, there's an intentionality. And so in crafting a worship celebration, we're intentional because of the purpose of a Sunday worship celebration. It's not just about individuals coming together, you know, to hear about Jesus, but we're coming together as one body to express unity and to worship. And that's formative. And when we talk about being intentional in that, I think sometimes we can still go towards making it a positive experience or trying to make it something that people can consume, kind of trying to sell, when really we're trying to be formed. Because if we think about that purpose of coming together as one body, we remember that our story is all a part of God's bigger story. And we're coming for shalom, for peace. And then that comes into some of the other key factors of the Hope Avenue, which is being inclusive. We're united in Christ, and because of the gospel, our gathering is going to look different than gathering that happens outside of the church body. You know, we want not everyone to look like us or think like us or have the same experiences as us, because through Jesus, we're united and we're one. And so we have to think through intentionally how we're going to make this an inviting and safe space where people know how to have an entry point and join us in worshiping too, to be formed together as one. And that takes us to the last factor in the Hope Avenue, which is inspirational. It needs to be cohesive and thematic and leading us into deeper understanding into who Jesus is and who we are in him. And so our worship celebrations, we're crafting them not so that they're amazing and spectacular and people want to come take them in, but because we're being formed in them and because they're reflecting who God is. And our God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of peace. We want people to leave with a sense of shalom.
You know, you mentioned the word intentional several times, and so let's dig into that a little bit. When should a Hope Avenue champion begin to craft and be intentional with the weekly worship gathering? And what are the important steps they take along the way during the week?
You know, there are a lot of people in the lineup of the Hope Avenue, because it's not just the people who are on the stage, it's the people who are setting the environment as well. And so I really think it needs to be a quarterly beginning where the Hope Avenue champion kind of sets the lineup of who's going to fill in those different spots, who's going to be greeting, who's going to be at the information table, you know, who's going to be responsible for refreshments, you know, and then who's going to be in all the different parts of the service. If you're following along with the RCL, you also know that we're following the Christian calendar as well, and there's different postures for those services, you know, in those quarters. If we're in the season of Advent, we're waiting and we're hopeful for the coming Savior. You know, if we're in Christmas, we're celebrating that God is with us, and that needs to be represented in those services because that's how we're being formed. And so it really needs to be quarterly, and then there needs to be those weekly rhythms, you know, where people are reminded of where they are in the lineup, and that coordination can happen. And a lot of that, there are sub teams that work within the Hope Avenue. So, you know, who's working in your integration team, and, you know, who's responsible for the different parts of the service? Is your worship team gathering, you know, and connecting with that theme through the songs that are being selected? And also too, I know that a lot of our pastors are bivocational, so this might be a time limitation, but I think even the pastor is involved in that. And, you know, is there an opportunity for the team to come together and kind of reflect on the sermon and see how that fits with the rest of the theme, and get feedback on that and that refinement? And then we are really being intentional there. We're following the lead of the Spirit. It's not in a controlling way, but, you know, our God is a triune God. He works in community, and so we work well in community too. The Spirit moves in that. And I think that's really how we can be formed together, not just during the service, but in preparing together and being intentional together.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of moving parts here, you know, that go into making a Sunday worship celebration a place of shalom, like you mentioned. So let's talk about those moving parts. Is there one step in your mind that can sometimes get overlooked or not given the time and attention that it deserves?
I think it's the coordination between the teams. You know, it's really easy to then communicate with the people that we're responsible for working with. And so I think those weekly reminders of who's in the lineup and the coordination between those people who are responsible as well. And that flows into the service, even in transitions. You know, after you speak, who's coming after you? Are they going to use the same mic you're going to use? How can we keep this moving smoothly and in a posture of worship throughout the whole experience, not just even during the service, but from when people get out of their cars into the doors? How are our teams coordinating with one another to just continue to flow with how the Spirit is moving?
Yeah. You know, you've talked and mentioned formation quite a bit, being formed. Can you, I'm just going to ask you from a very personal level, Michelle, what does it look like in a Sunday worship celebration where you walked away feeling shalom and being formed that day? What were the key elements that took place?
I think, personally, I'm someone who thinks ahead, and so knowing what to expect is so helpful for me. And so walking away with shalom is knowing when I get out of my car, I know where I'm going. I can consistently walk through the door and know what to expect is happening in that room, that things will be starting on time, you know, that like if I get there in a timely manner, that things will start in a timely manner. It's really helpful to know what the flow of the service is going to be that day, you know, having that printed out or maybe just projected on a screen, to know how I can follow along with that and prepare my mind and my body and my spirit to just be present in that and not be wondering what's going to happen next, what's going on here, how do I participate in this. I think even in the different parts of a service, you know, before communion, explain what communion is, you know, explain what the procedure is going to be that helps people worship, that intentionality leads to inspiration.
Yeah, that's good. And you mentioned communion, which is really a key element, a response to the goodness of God and His presence with us. Let's talk about some of the key elements of a worship celebration that every pastor and Hope Avenue champion should consider including to produce this formation and shalom that we keep discussing. What are those elements?
You know, I'm going to piggyback off of a book that I really enjoyed by James K. Smith, and it's called You Are What You Love. And he talks about the elements of worship and how we're formed in worship. It's really what the book is about. And rather than talking about like the segments of the service, he talks about how every service needs to have certain postures in it. And so when we're coming together as a body to be formed as a body, we need a posture of gathering as one with that in mind from the start of the service, of listening to the word, and then also of communing in the Trinitarian relationship and with one another. And so if we're going to break that down into elements, if we're gathering, I think it's important to have a call to worship orienting everyone in the room to the same truth about God. What are we going to learn about God today? What is he speaking to us? What's the theme of this service? If that can be built in from the beginning, from the call to worship, it puts us in that mindset. It puts us in that flow. It can be a short thing, but it's an important thing. Listening to the word is through sermon, but also through scripture reading. And we commune in all different kinds of ways, through the praise, through offering, through corporate prayer. You know, that could be meditation, reflection, a spiritual practice, and of course, communion. And so these elements don't have to happen every single week, but I think we need at least those three postures and elements that bring out those postures. And we actually have a church hack that is a suggested order of service, and we can put that in the show notes if people want to see more of a framework for that too.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we're talking about a celebration here, worship celebration. Does this mean we're dancing in the aisles? I mean, what are we talking about when we should have a core value of celebrating when we come together to worship, Michelle?
Well, I mean, when we're coming together in worship, we're coming to share the good news of Jesus, right? The gospel is good news, and so we're celebrating. Even if we're personally in a hard time, we're coming because of the hope we have in him. And so coming together, it's transformative. We're celebrating because we know that through Jesus we're transformed. And actually being in this pandemic has had me thinking about that a lot, because as an introvert, you know, I didn't really think I would miss church that much, I confess. But I miss coming together and having my mind and heart pointed in the same direction as other people. You know, I'm not even that into sports, but I miss sports because that happens at sports. And I miss church because I miss singing the same truth next to brothers and sisters. And even when if I'm not believing it, hearing other people say those words with conviction helps me borrow hope and have conviction too. And I think about even how we go through our own personal formation in between the week. You know, having a Bible myself just for me is such a privilege. You know, that's why we had family Bibles hundreds of years ago, because families came together to read the word together and to be formed together in between the Sunday service. And I think that's such a crucial part of being a follower of Christ, is coming together to celebrate that we have one another's back, you know, that the Spirit works through one another to minister to us.
Yeah, that's I agree with you, Michelle. That's what I've been missing as well. You know, we like to say that faith is definitely personal, but it's never private. Mm-hmm. Like, by singing songs of faith, by sharing testimony, by reading the word of Scripture together, hearing the word read out loud, someone else's faith feeds my faith. And that's why the body of Christ is so important and worthy of celebration when we come together, because you know, the enemy's all so happy to beat up on people throughout the week, and to come together and be reminded that there is something much greater going on than the circumstances of our lives and the immediacy of the moment. It's really, really important. So what else would you want to say to Hope Avenue champions and GCI pastors when it comes to the Sunday worship celebration?
You know, I think we've talked a lot about like the elements of the service, but I really want to mention the integration ministry. You know, and it's not just about the service, but it's about the environment that you're creating and welcoming guests into, and allowing connecting points for members to happen too. And so, you know, how do we host our guests in our own homes? How do we honor them? You know, each person walking through the door is God's beloved child, and are they experiencing that in the environment that we're creating? And how are we creating points not to orient guests to us, but to orient guests to Jesus? You know, like I said before, I think it's so important. Are we explaining the purpose of what we're doing in our worship service? Is that in our mind for each portion? So if someone comes in and they haven't had a church experience before and they're moved to participate, they can.
Yeah. You know, we haven't talked about this, but you did mention it, and that is the first time guest into the Sunday worship celebration. Are there any other elements that maybe we don't think about that would be really helpful to make a first-time guest feel like this is a comfortable place, this could be a place I could call home, and maybe anything that we should watch out for as Hope Avenue champions that maybe it seems good to us, but maybe it wouldn't be to a first-time guest? Can you speak to that issue?
Yeah, I can only really from my personal experience, you know, what makes me comfortable. And so I think giving options for response. You know, I think sometimes it's like, yeah, have people bring a connection card to the table and have to talk to someone. And for an extrovert, I think that would be great. And that's how they might want to connect. So it's a both and, you know, have that option, but also, you know, let someone maybe put it in the plate and participate in an offering, if in that kind of way, in an offering moment, and give their information and then have an opportunity for follow-up that might not be in the moment on the spot. I think thinking through different people's personality types and creating opportunities for connection, a pathway for them to become engaged. You know, it's not that you don't have an opportunity to respond because you don't want to overwhelm people. We want people to know how they can take their next step and become a part of this body. But create multiple entry points for how different people would want to respond.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And so as we're kind of wrapping up our time together, you know, as of this recording, many churches are still not physically gathering together. So all the principles you've talked about in the Hope Avenue, is it transferable to an online virtual environment? And if so, how so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you are on a platform where guests can engage, you know, if you're having one like a Zoom meeting where no one else is receiving the link, then perhaps not. But I guess people could have an entry point just by sharing your link. But on a platform like Facebook, or if you're putting your sermon on your website, a pre-recorded sermon, you know, have a comment section, you know, that you can follow up with. Give people a next step with your post. So if it's on your website, put some copy beneath that gives them a next step for how they can engage. If you're on a platform like Facebook, make a comment, mention it during your what the next step is that you have for how you can connect with someone who may be in your community and is tuning in.
Yeah, you've made me think back to a book I read years ago by Andy Stanley called Communicating for a Change. And he made the point that to preachers and pastors that your audience wants to follow you. It's like they're in a vehicle behind you and you're the lead vehicle. And the last thing you want to do is jump off to an on-ramp without giving a signal for your audience to follow you. And I keep hearing that theme show up in what you're saying, that it's really important that we guide people through the process, that there's an intentionality to that. And I think that's something I need to be reminded of as a pastor and somebody who's very involved in the Hope Avenue. And I think this is going to be meaningful for our listening audience. So thank you, Michelle. And the way that we typically wrap up, if you're game, all right, you've already mentioned that you mentioned that you're an introvert, and you know, don't send an introvert to the table to talk to somebody, but I'm going to put you on the spot, and I hope you'll be willing to do this. But what I'd like to do is 7 rapid fire questions, and I want you to name the first thing that comes to mind. Are you okay with this?
Yes.
Are you willing to do this?
Yes, I'm game.
All right. Question number 1, the song that always makes you want to dance.
Oh man. I think every song. When I was a kid, my mom would tell me that I just danced to music in my head. I think I don't even need a song. I just want to dance. I was made to dance.
Your favorite Caribbean island?
Oh, there are too many in my family to choose. I don't want to lose family members over this. So I'm going to plead the 5th on that one.
Wait. You said that you were game and you would play along, Michelle.
I don't have a favorite.
I knew that was going to be an impossible question. How about this one? Name a book you would recommend to our listeners.
Ooh, goodness. So many good books. You know, I just finished the book, Try Softer, and I'm not going to try and say the writer's name, but that has really spoken to me. And I gave it to a couple friends, and it spoke to them too. And so that has been a really formational book for me recently.
Try Softer. That's good. Fill in the blank. You are most content when?
I'm on the beach. That's why I can't choose an island. I love any island.
On the beach dancing.
That's right.
What one word comes to mind when you think of GCI?
Fellowship.
Yeah. I like to say we're lingerers. We just linger and linger in fellowship and never go home, yeah. Right? Turn off the lights. Y'all go home.
Exactly. We love each other and I love it.
Biggest pet peeve?
I think when someone's trying to sell me on something.
Ooh. Note to self. And finally, the last question. Fill in the blank. Being an aunt to a niece and nephew makes me...
My heart overflow. It is a great joy.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great joy having you on this podcast. And I think the information you provided, Michelle, is going to be super helpful to our pastors and our Hope Avenue champions. And it's our tradition on this podcast to end with prayer. And so if you're willing, I'd like for you to ask you to say a prayer for our pastors, our ministry leaders, and our Hope Avenue champions around the world. Would you be willing?
I'd be willing. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for having me and for just making it such a joyful process. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we just praise you for who you are. We come before you and we pray that you open our hearts, open our minds, and just as we offer you to ourselves as individuals, we lift up to you everyone who's involved in the Hope Avenue, and that's all of us, because we all have the joy of coming together to celebrate the hope that we have in Jesus. And so we thank you for GCI. We thank you for our fellowship. We thank you for how you've knitted us together to reflect your kingdom in this world. And so as we focus on our Hope Avenues, Father, we ask that you teach us to love you first. Teach us to delight in you as you delight in us. And teach us to welcome change instead of fearing it. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that nothing is impossible for you. And so convince us personally of the good news of Jesus so that we can come together corporately and declare it. And just help us to share that love with our neighbors and with the world around us. And so we thank you for who you are, for who you've made us to be, and for how you unite us together in one body. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
Joe Brandon, Michelle was on point in this interview. But what stood out to you?
Well, what didn't stand out to me is that she was on point in the interview, because she has been on the podcast a couple other times and she is always on point, bro. Like, she always brings it. But the thing in this particular podcast that she brought up, and I think it's a question that a lot of us are asking, you know, during this pandemic, she mentioned an online Hope Avenue. And what does that look like? What does the journey for someone new that is experiencing your online service, how do you journey with them? How do you do the Hope Avenue being virtual? And we don't have a lot of answers for that right now, but it's something that is on the forefront of our minds as many, not just GCI churches, but many churches are not meeting in person.
Has there been anything your church has implemented, Joe, so far that you have been able to connect back to those folks gathering online?
Yeah, Michelle actually mentioned it a little bit in the interview, of having a place where people can chat and they can actually engage the best that we can. And even with our particular online experience, what we try to do is actually engage those that are online, asking them to participate in some way. You know, for now, what we're doing is Facebook Live. So we ask them to hit that heart button or that like button. Tell us where they're watching us from. So it creates this engagement. It creates as much of a relationship as we can create through a screen. And one of the next steps that we're working on is that very thing that I just mentioned, is what are the next steps?
Yeah.
What are the next steps for somebody when they visit us online and they want to be folded into the life of the church? What's our online connection card? Then how do we love them well beyond that?
Yeah, that's a good best practice, inviting them in, even in a small way, to somehow connect to the life of the church through the sermon on Facebook Live. And, you know, one of the things we want to do at GC Podcast, it's a core value, is to point people toward effective resources that serve our pastors and Avenue champions and ministry leaders, so that they can craft a Sunday worship celebration effectively. So where can people go, Joe Brandon? Because we know you're a source of information. Where can they go to get the resources they need?
Well, my source of information, I have gotten a lot from our actual resources page. You can go to resources.gci.org, and I have used a lot of resources from GCI as we are doing a lot of changes. We're doing a lot of shifting. We're planting into a community. We're rebranding. And there is just so much information and tools and resources at that resources page with branding, avenue resources, and so much more.
You have good words, Joe Brannon, and I love doing this with you. Friends, we really appreciate you listening to us today. If you've liked what you've heard, give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join the conversation. Till next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.